Let's read together John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. In these verses, we have the seventh sign miracle of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. John chapter 11, verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Let's consider some background notes first of all. If you go to Bethany today, you will be shown the tomb of Lazarus. It may be authentic. It does fit the biblical description, and it does have a heavy tradition behind it. But we can't be sure. When the Lord says in verse 39 to take away the stone, Martha, the sister of Lazarus, says, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Remember, the Jews did not embalm in those days. Now, how do you get the 4 days? Well, it took 1 day for the message that Lazarus was dead to reach Jesus, who was over on the other side of the River Jordan. And then the Lord purposely delayed 2 days, as we see in verse 6. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. And then, of course, there was the 1 day of travel back to Bethany. The Lord purposely let 4 days pass so that there was no question about Lazarus being dead. This miracle was no case of resuscitation or artificial respiration. No, Lazarus had really died. In verse 44, we read, "And he who had died came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Then Jesus said to them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" How do you visualize Lazarus coming out of the tomb? Do you imagine Lazarus coming forth looking like a mummy? A body like in plaster of Paris or paper mache, some kind of body cast with his legs so bound that he had to float out and land upright before the Lord? Well, most likely Lazarus either stumbled out of the tomb or crawled out with his legs loosely bound. You see, in the first century, the Jews would use strips of cloth permeated by spices, not glue, by spices to wrap the body. So Lazarus probably stumbled out with these strips of cloth beginning to unravel and dangling off of him. The face cloth that we read about here in verse 44 was not like some kind of mask, but more like what we used to do when we had a toothache, you know, take a cloth and wrap it around our jaws and tie it up over our heads. In the first century, they used this kind of face cloth in burial to keep the mouth closed. Well, so much for background notes. But let me just say at this point, you know, it's interesting that the Bible doesn't say anything about what went on during the 4 days that Lazarus was dead. I mean, if I were John, and John certainly knew Lazarus and would have been able to talk to him after this experience, I certainly would have asked Lazarus about these 4 days. Was he conscious? Was he in heaven? What did he learn? But John stays right on track. His purpose is to show the deity of Christ, and that by showing this, the readers would come to faith in Christ as Savior. Other extra-biblical materials certainly would go off on these tangents of describing Lazarus' experience during the 4 days, but not John. He stays right on track. It really is a stamp on the Bible of its authenticity. Let's move to doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, answered prayer is evidence of the truth. Answered prayer is evidence of the truth. In verse 41, the Lord prayed, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." And then in verse 42, he said, "And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. In other words, the Lord wanted the people to know that the raising of Lazarus was a definite answer to prayer, so that they might believe the truth that he was who he said he was, the very Son of God. His answered prayer was evidence of this truth. Answered prayer is evidence of the truth. Do you remember Elijah when he confronted the prophets of Baal? He prayed, and God answered by fire from heaven. It was evidence of the truth. There was no question who was on the side of the truth. Elijah was. God answered Elijah's prayer. Answered prayer today is evidence of the truth. Many people today can give undeniable testimonies that it was answered prayer that delivered them from drugs or alcohol or saved their marriage or brought help in the nick of time. Now, of course, the unbeliever is going to try to avoid this evidence and say, well, that was just coincidence, or give some other explanation. But answered prayer definitely is evidence of the truth. Doctrinal point number two. There is a difference between a resurrection from the dead and a raising from the dead. There is a difference between a resurrection from the dead and a raising from the dead. Lazarus was not resurrected from the dead. He was raised from the dead. Now, what's the difference? A raising from the dead is when a person is brought back to mortal life. A person who is raised from the dead dies again. Lazarus died again. A person who is resurrected from the dead has a new body, an immortal body, a glorified body, a body that will not die again. Our Lord was resurrected from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead. You remember the grave clothes of our Lord? They were left right where they were when our Lord's body was changed. It was not like in this case of Lazarus, where the grave clothes are still clinging to the body. To be sure, the raising of Lazarus is a picture of the resurrection of the believer, which will take place when the Lord returns. In John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, we read, "The Lord said, 'Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation.'" There is a difference between resurrection from the dead and raising from the dead. Now, some of you might be wondering about this scripture, John 5:29, a resurrection of the damned. Well, I don't want to go off on a long tangent here, but the Bible very definitely indicates that not only will the believer be raised in resurrection, but the unbelievers will have some kind of body in which they will live forever in hell. In any case, there is a difference between a resurrection from the dead and a raising from the dead. Doctrinal point number three. The Lord's authority over death proved his deity. The Lord's authority over death proved his deity. We mentioned that this miracle was the seventh sign miracle in the Gospel of John. Once again, let me read John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, where you have the purpose of John. John 20, verse 30, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." All seven of the sign miracles that John selected to show the deity of Christ emphasize his deity, that he is truly the Son of God. But this is the climax, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Think of it. A man who has been dead for 4 days, his body already in a state of corruption, but at the command of Christ, Lazarus come forth, he comes back to life. The Lord's authority over death proved his deity. You know, another point to keep in mind, you'll notice that when the Lord raised someone back to life, whether it was the widow of Nain's son, or Jairus' daughter, or here, Lazarus, the Lord does it at his command. This is not like Elijah raising the widow of Zarephath's son, or Elisha raising the Shunammite woman's son, or Peter bringing Dorcas back to life. In those cases, they prayed and God answered prayer. What a striking difference we have here. The Lord at his own command. He is God. He raised the dead. The Lord's authority over death proved his deity. You know, it's often been pointed out that if the Lord hadn't been specific here and said, Lazarus, come forth, but just come forth, all the dead would have come out of the graves. In any case, the Lord's authority over death proved his deity. What about practical application? Practical application number one, it is our privilege to remove stones. It is our privilege to remove stones. In this miracle, not only do we have a picture of the believer's future resurrection, we also have a picture of salvation. After all, Lazarus went from physical death to physical life. In salvation, we go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Now notice, the Lord does the miracle, but he asks for the stone to be taken away, there in verse 39. The Lord could have removed the stone as part of the miracle, but he asked them to do it. In the same way, we can't save a person. Only the Lord can do that. But we can certainly help remove the stones. The stones represent the barriers, the hang-ups, the things that are hindering a person from coming to Christ. It's our privilege to remove stones. That's what Christian evidence is and apologetics is all about, for example. 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a defense, an answer, or a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. It's not only our privilege to remove stones, it's our responsibility. Do you know how to remove stones? If a non-Christian seems open to the gospel, but they can't quite understand why God allows suffering, for example, or maybe this non-Christian is hung up on the problem of the heathen, what about the people who have never heard? Can you remove that stone to further open up the way for that person to be open to the gospel? It's our privilege to remove stones. Practical application number two. It is our privilege to remove grave clothes. It is our privilege to remove grave clothes. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, the Lord said, verse 44, loose him and let him go. Again, the Lord could have done that as part of the miracle. But he doesn't. He brings Lazarus back to life. But he asked them to remove the grave clothes. You see, the grave clothes represent those things of the former life that continue to cling on after we become Christians. Sinful habits, bad theology, worldly connections. You know, some new Christians have a very hard time shedding the old grave clothes. We need to help them. It is our privilege to remove grave clothes. In the first century, many of the Jews who became Christians were hung up with the grave clothes of Judaism. They had to go. Today, a new believer may be hung up and wearing the grave clothes of man-made religion or secular humanism or the New Age movement or just about anything. It's our privilege to help that new believer remove the grave clothes. It is our privilege to remove grave clothes.